Please stand with me this evening for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're going to read verses 14 through 17 this evening. And we'll read these responsively tonight. I'll read 14 myself, we'll read 15 together, I'll read 16, and we'll finish together with verse 17. Luke chapter 16. 14 through 17. And say amen when you found that scripture this evening. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says, "The Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." You may be seated.
Tonight's message is titled, One Tittle. Amen. One tittle. Luke chapter number 16, verse 14 through 17, we read it a minute ago. And these Pharisees were trying to justify themselves because they kept the law on the outward appearance. In verse 15, he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." Now, what's the problem with that? Is that they weren't justifying themselves before God. "But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass." Now, how easy is that? It's not too easy. I heard a statistic just the other day that if all the nuclear and atomic bombs in the world were set off at the same time, everyone in the world would die, the cockroaches would still be alive, but the earth would still be here. All the atomic bombs in the world might make the atmosphere uninhabitable, but the earth would still be here. Mankind in all of his power cannot remove the earth. Only God can do that. The law and the prophets were until John. It says it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. One tittle of the law to fail. A tittle, because I know you're dying to find out what in the world that is. A tittle is the small decorative spur or point on the upper edge of the jot. If you can imagine the tiny letter, the 10th letter in the Jewish alphabet, the smallest letter. And on there is a little, just a little tittle. And that's all it is. It's a small mark on the smallest letter in the Hebrew language. That is what a tittle is. Helps you differentiate from one Hebrew letter to another. And God says it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So how sure is the Word of God? It's pretty sure. Amen? Amen. Has the earth and heaven passed away? Not yet. So have we lost any tittles? No. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 5. We were there this morning. Matthew 5, verse 17. Sister passage, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees were living by the law, and they were keeping it to the letter, every tittle and every jot. But even doing that did not make them worthy enough to enter heaven on their own merits. They still, by faith, had to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And since they were keeping it to the law, and you can't keep it any more than it's being kept, it's not possible for you to work your way to heaven. You have to go by faith. Now, we are no longer under the condemnation of the law in relation to salvation, but that does not mean that all of the Old Testament is null and void. The Pharisees were keeping the law so that men could see them. They weren't keeping the law so that God could see them. And yes, doing right is a testimony to the world and the lost, but as God's people, we are to be doing right for God, because he is worthy. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or doesn't think about us. We're not doing what the Bible says to please men. We're doing what the Bible says to please God. The Pharisees had outward obedience, but inward rebellion. Many Christians fall into this trap today. They try to keep maybe some standards that are laid out in the law outwardly and think that that makes them okay. But the only one that they're really pleasing is man. The only one they're really being justified before is man, because who knows their heart? And is their heart humble before God? Have they cast out the sin that's in there? No, they got this facade on. And we need to be careful as Christians that what's on the outside is also what's on the inside. And that what we put on the outside isn't to be justified before man or to please man, but to please. Now, I believe the Bible does speak about the outside and that it is important. But make sure that what you're wearing is being worn to please God. Because if you're not wearing something that pleases God, you shouldn't be wearing it. Jesus didn't destroy the law and the prophets when he came. He fulfilled the promise, but that did not disannul Genesis through Malachi. It isn't only Matthew through Revelations that now matters as Christians. No longer would a lamb sacrifice be needed from the flock, for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died once for all of our sins. But just because you got saved in the New Testament does not mean you don't live by the scripture in both the Old and New Testament. I've heard many Christians say, well, that was in the Old Testament, so it no longer applies to us. We're under grace, not the law. That sounds good, but Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't sound like Jesus is discounting the law. Being under grace and not under the law means that we are no longer under the law in relation to salvation. No longer is outward circumcision required, for salvation through faith circumcises the heart, our hearts, of sin. That sin is cut out, Romans chapter 2 tells us. Those who use their liberty from the law through salvation and teach men not to follow the law shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Liberty in Christ does not mean liberty to sin. You might be free from the ultimate punishment of the eternal lake of fire. That doesn't mean that God's going to be mocked and not judge you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look at me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to come back to Matthew in a bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. When you're there, say, glory. This side is faster than this side. 2 Timothy 3:16. All right, follow along with me. Some scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm sorry, did I misread? What's that say there? All. All means all, and that's all that all means. Say that with me. All means all, and that's all that all means. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And notice, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Men of God need all scripture to be complete, perfect in their walk with God and understanding of God. That means Matthew is profitable, and Leviticus is profitable, 1 Peter is profitable, Ecclesiastes is profitable, Song of Solomon is profitable, Jude is profitable, Revelation is profitable, and Malachi is profitable. All scripture is profitable. Do you believe that? There may be some parts of the Old Testament that were fulfilled at the cross. There may be some commands in the Old Testament that apply to Israel as a nation. But the fulfilling of some does not cancel out the rest of the Old Testament. Jesus was asked what the greatest law in the Old Testament was. In Matthew 22:36, we see his reply. Anybody know it off the top of your head? Amen. Thou shalt love. Matthew 22:36. Man asked Jesus, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, surely no one would argue that these two commandments are irrelevant today or wrong for us to follow. Surely no one would argue that they are not applicable in the New Testament because they were given in the Old Testament. All the law and the prophets hang on and point to these two commandments. So, if you want to fully understand how to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, you have to read the law and the prophets to see how God says to do that. Amen. If you want to love your neighbor as yourself, it requires reading and following what the law and prophets explain about how to do that. To love your neighbor means you can't murder him. Sorry, some of you go home, put the knives away. Say that's Old Testament law. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Deuteronomy 5:17, thou shalt not kill. Now, how many of you are glad that's in the Bible? Amen, because otherwise your neighbor would kill you. Jesus strengthens it in Matthew 5:21-23. And Paul mentions it in the New Testament as an example of how to love your neighbor. And he reiterates things that we are found in the Old Testament about how to love your neighbor. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled what? It's interesting, he's mentioning the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, and where would that commandment be found? Old Testament or New? Old. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Whenever we see Jesus use scripture, he refers to the Old Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 4. And verse number 1. A lot of scriptures tonight. Matthew 4, 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." Now what's he going to quote, Old Testament or New? Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look down at verse 7. Jesus answers him again after another temptation. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Old Testament or New Testament? Old. Did that Old Testament verse defeat Satan just as good as a New Testament verse? Yes. Look down to verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Old Testament verse or New Testament verse? Old. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. You just there across the page. Verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time." So he's talking about an Old Testament verse here. Yes. He says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you," don't worry about it. Is that what he says? "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The Old Testament commandment only dealt with the external. Jesus strengthened the commandment by extending it internally. He strengthens it. He doesn't annul it. Soul liberty gives you freedom from being under the law for salvation. It does not give you the license to sin and to go against the law just because you are now forgiven and on your way to heaven. Murder before salvation is just as much as a sin as murder after salvation. I hope you agree with that statement, because if I make you upset, put the knives away. Is not murder, premeditated murder, killing somebody for no reason just to kill them, just as much a sin before salvation as it is afterward? Just because you're saved, does that mean you no longer have to deal with thou shalt not kill? No, praise God. We have a bunch of murdering Christians around here. Old Testament doesn't apply. Look at verse 31, Matthew 5, 31. "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you," don't even bother with a piece of paper, just walk away. Is that what it says? No, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Jesus strengthens the law against divorce and remarriage here. He doesn't make provision for it. Saving for the cause of fornication is not a provision for it, because all the other sister passages of this, where Jesus talks about divorce, says don't do it. "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, unless it's for fornication." He doesn't say that. Saving for the cause of fornication is explained. If you study Deuteronomy chapter 22, you see that the marriage is annulled when a woman marries a man and she's found to have committed fornication. It's annulled. They're no longer married through the death of the wife through stoning. That ain't good. Obviously, we don't have that law in the United States. We'd run out of rocks. You know, a man that took a maid who was betrothed, he was put to death too. Same thing. Matthew 5:33, he says, "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time," talking Old Testament, "thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Now, it seems like God may have just unstrengthened this one, but really, he strengthened it because every time you say yes, you're promising. You going to do that? Yes. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Look, if there was a law that said, if you do this to perfection, then you can go to heaven, then we wouldn't need Christ to die for us. But the scripture, verse 22, hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So are you justified by the law? No, we're justified by faith. Are we justified by the law? We're justified by faith. But just because you're justified by faith doesn't mean you can throw the law out the window. Thou shalt not kill is still there. Now praise the Lord, if you kill someone before you get saved, where do you go? Hell. If you kill somebody after you get saved, I'm talking about like if you kill someone before you get saved, then you die. Where do you go? Hell. If after you get saved you kill somebody, where do you go? Because we're no longer under the judgment of the law to eternal damnation. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to still keep the law. Otherwise, we'll all be shooting each other. I really didn't like the sermon this morning, Pastor. You're a 23rd pastor this month. Hope you do good this morning. You know? Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Look, we're no longer under a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ because now we're saved. We no longer need the law to teach us about bringing us to Christ because once you accept Christ, you're saved. You no longer need a schoolmaster to teach you how to be saved because once you're saved, you're saved. That doesn't mean the law can't still teach us. We're just not under it to lead us to salvation. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Some people seem to think that because you are saved, the law no longer applies, that it is completely void. Tithing no longer applies. Men and women dressing distinctly differently no longer matters. Even to the point nowadays where we have boys saying they're girls, and girls saying they're boys. Yet thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not thou shalt not bear false witness, are in the Old Testament, and they still matter. You know, we can't pick and choose what laws in the Old Testament we want to apply to ourselves and which ones they don't. Now, if it's distinctly one you can pick out and say, well, that was for national Israel. Okay. But you can't throw all the Old Testament out because one thing was fulfilled at the cross or one thing applied to the nation of Israel. I'm thankful that thou shalt not kill still applies. Amen. Look at the admonishment Peter gives us in the New Testament. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, right before Revelation. First Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye what? Holy in all manner of conversation, because what's that next three words? It is written, Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament. Peter says, Old Testament is written, be holy, for I am holy. Here we have Peter quoting a portion of Scripture to New Testament Christians as proof that we should live holy lives. And the Scripture he's referencing is found in Leviticus 11:44, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It also says in Leviticus 19:2, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It also says it in Leviticus 27, Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Nowhere else in Scripture does it say it exactly like that except in Leviticus. Many New Testament Christians will be quick to discount everything in Leviticus. Well, that's Old Testament law. Well, be holy, for I am holy is in there. Can't throw that out. Peter says, if you look throughout the New Testament and Old Testament, I think you'll find a greater amount of instruction in the Old Testament in how to live a separated, holy life. If we want to live separated, holy lives for God, we can't discount the Old Testament. He didn't destroy it. He fulfilled it. The Old Testament, that name, the Old Testament, is when you had to bring a lamb in representation of Jesus Christ, the blood that you were believing in for that he would come. The New Testament is you accept the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ on the cross, and no lamb no longer is sacrificed. Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, said, This is the New Testament in my blood, which is given for you. The New Testament is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ's blood. Old Testament was saved by faith in Jesus Christ's blood to come. And we're going to sacrifice a lamb every year to show God we have faith that Jesus Christ is going to come. This will cover us for 1 year. I'm going to bring one another year because I still believe. Because there are some Israelites that stop believing. Second Timothy 3:16 through 17, we read it a moment ago, I'll read it in closing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look, folks, we need to take heed to the Word of God from cover to cover. There's something that God frees in the New Testament. Okay? It's pretty clear in the New Testament. He frees eating certain kind of meats that were supposed to be avoided in the Old Testament. We all thank the Lord for bacon. Some of us. Well done, crispy. Some of you like squid. God bless you. It's chewy, too chewy for me. You know? But let me just say this. The New Testament also says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If there's something that you're addicted to, and it's ruling you, then you need to pull away from it. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things aren't beneficial for the gospel. Let's make sure we take the whole counsel of God seriously, from Genesis to Revelation, because not one jot and not one tittle will pass away till all is fulfilled. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2nd, and Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, and Revelation, the ones I missed. We thank you, dear Lord, for the Word of God. It's all profitable, Lord. Help us in our Bible study to dig into the Bible and accept it for what it says. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.